Morning and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll look at verse 30 and 31. And as I mentioned already, we will be looking at Jericho. I'm not really sure, why God has taken us through all this time with Joshua and all, but I just, as I prayed about this, and as I've said over and over and over, if you're praying about it and I'm praying about it, God's not going to give us two different things. So he just, for some reason, we're stuck on this faith thing. And I wonder, if God's sitting on his throne looking down on earth and saying, ye of little faith. We get so wrapped up in what's going on in the world, and I don't care what it is, if it's in the United States or around the world or whatever, and we get our eyes off of God and we start thinking that we've lost this thing. God has it all under control. And nobody's going to take it from him. So let's start in verse 30 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful again, and thankful for this message that you've given me as far as Jericho and Joshua and the faith. And Father, I pray that we would have such great faith. I pray, Father, that our faith wouldn't waver, especially in difficult times, but that our faith would be strong. I pray, Father, that our faith would not waver even in the easy times, but that it would not falter. And I pray, Father, that we would be found faithful. Looking forward to what you have for us now. For it's in the blessed name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So as we continue on in this Hebrews, the Hall of Faith chapter, as I've mentioned each week, the children of Israel have moved from the wilderness of worry to the promised land of peace. They move from the wilderness of wandering to the promised land of progress. From the wilderness of despondency to the promised land of delight. And from defeat to victory, the victorious Christian life of rising above and gaining new ground. Can we have that victorious Christian life? You bet we can. If we want it. We can live in defeat if we want that as well. But we have to choose, right? It's our choice. You know, I've had the opportunity of talking to an individual and very, very confused on some things biblically. But it's interesting to see that as you share and that light goes on, it's kind of interesting to see how that happens. Kind of interesting to see how we can rise above, we can live victorious. The Bible tells us we're on the winning side if we're on the Lord Jesus Christ's side, right? I didn't say he's on our side. I said we're on his side. There's a huge difference. Walking in the Spirit and the fruits of that Spirit will help us to have that victorious Christian life. The first city they come to after crossing the Jordan is Jericho. This is considered the greatest walled fortress city of all time. A military citadel. In fact, it's unparalleled in those days. This was a place where the walls were so thick, chariots could run on top of them. This was what they called an impossible city to destroy. It was impregnable. In fact, people would say, is it improbable? No, it's impossible to break in to this walled city. Interesting, huh? I want to say this morning that some of us have those walled cities in our lives. some of those areas in our life that seem hopeless to defeat, right? And we don't think we can conquer those, a barrier that stands in our way, and it seems to give up on that one. And that's the only way it is to view it, right? We can't conquer that. Let me tell you today, you can't on your own. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, everything is possible, right? Everything is possible. What's your Jericho? What's your Jericho? It shouts at you in defiance when you think about it. If not for me, you would have made it, right? If not for that Jericho in your life, you would have made it. All your dreams stopped cold when you crossed my path. God's perfect will was within reach, if not for me, right? Over and over and over, we have to look in our life. What is our Jericho? What's preventing us from being all that we could be for the Lord Jesus Christ? The ambitions of your heart might have been accomplished, but you could not get over me. I can't answer what it is in your life. You have to answer that for yourself. Maybe it's a besetting sin that seems to haunt you and you cannot seem to get the victory. Over and over and over, the devil comes and works on you again and again and again and again and again. And he uses the same thing over and over and over because it works so well. For others, it might be an unhealthy attitude. I used to call it a bad-itude, right? Because we have some unhealthy attitudes. Maybe you were genuinely done wrong by somebody and you won't let that go, right? I remember the other day I was trying to be good and keep my wife seated and not doing much, so I had her in the recliner and we were watching another one of those supposedly, you know, Christian-centered shows, and they were talking about forgiveness. And one of them said, well, that's just difficult to do. And the other one said, forgiveness is not for the one who is offended. It is for the one who has been offended. Not the offender, but the offendee, right? You've got to forgive to get past it. And I said, he gets it. And my wife looked at me and I said, I've been preaching that for years. Somebody was listening, right? She said, I don't think he heard any of your messages. I said, probably not, but he got it. Anyway, you know, regardless, he still got it. He understands. Forgiveness is for us. The one that needs to forgive. We need to do that. Thank God we've been forgiven, right? If not, that bitterness will eat you from the inside out. Some people just cannot let go of the grudge. What is your Jericho? Could be an unhappy marriage, guilt over past sins, a lack of education, lack of motivation, lack of confidence. There's a lot of people that have no confidence. Folks, we don't have to have confidence in our ability, just have confidence in God's ability. A lack of money, a financial downfall. The devil wants to erect a fortress around your personal success. Don't let him keep you from entering the abundant Christian life. Don't let him. Don't let him keep you home from church services. Don't let him keep you from salvation, from baptism, discipleship, faithfulness, service, tithing, missions, surrendering to the ministry, or even achieving your dreams. Don't let him. When you come to your Jericho, you have two choices. You can flee from it, or you can face it. That's the choices. To flee, there's only one place you can go, and that's back to the wilderness, right? Worked so well for the Israelites, right? Wandering in the wilderness. Wandering in the wilderness should not be an option for the child of God. Shouldn't be an option. We got to face our Jericho. And we're going to have to do it God's way, because that's the only way that it's going to work. If we don't do it God's way, there's no other way we'll get past it. Verse 30, it said, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, victory over Jericho came by faith. We're not going to get victory in our life unless it's by faith. Victory is not achieved through fighting. It is received through faith. When God has a big job to do, He always gives faith the contract. It's faith, folks. See, we have this issue. We want to live by sight, right? Seeing is believing. No, not seeing is believing. What faith is there in sight? I mean, you can't convince me this glass has no water in it. I see it. I don't have to, by faith, believe there's water in that glass. I could see it. But by faith, I believe God exists. By faith, I believe His Word is true. By faith, I believe what His Word says when He says, my word will not return unto me void. By faith, I believe in Almighty God. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. First John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith in its object. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 5. Starting in verse 4. No, excuse me. Starting in verse 13. It says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? Am I now come? Joshua was out in a field on a reconnaissance mission. He's surveying the situation. He looks up at those high walls of Jericho. And no doubt trying to strategize as a general in the army, he turned around to see a man who came out of nowhere. He just appeared. Joshua asked the logical question here, right? Are you for us or are you for them? Very logical question, right? Good guy or bad guy? Are you for us or are you for our enemies? He gets a unique answer. No. Don't you like when you ask a one or the other, a yes or no question, and you get a maybe? No, the question's yes or no. I want this answer or this answer. And they give you something that totally doesn't go along with what you asked. And you wonder, Or you ask a this or this, and they go, yeah. No, it was a yes or a no, not a yeah. What does yeah mean? Does that mean this one or this one? and you wonder. And they leave you wondering a lot of times. I don't know, figure it out, right? Who is this mysterious character? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ making an appearance in the Old Testament, as I mentioned last week. Continue on in verse 14. It says, "And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant?" An angel would have turned down that kind of worship. They're not worthy of that kind of worship. Only God is worthy of that kind of worship. And it's a valuable lesson. We need to stop trying to get God on our side, and we need to get on God's side. See, we think we're going to pull him over to what we want. God, I know what your word says. I know what you told me to do. But I want to do this instead, and I want you to get on board with me. And he says, I don't change. I am the God that changeth not, right? If you want to get on board with me, perfect. If you want me to get on board with you, sorry about your luck, and I don't believe in luck. Right? Sorry, it's not going to happen, folks. He's not going to move over to your side just because you want to do things different. Too many times I've seen church after church after church after church after church go away from the Word of God and say, we've got to do it our way so we can reach the masses. Not what God said. We should take off our sword and lay it down at the dust at the feet of our captain. And when we do so, our Jericho is no longer our problem. We've given it to him. Right? It's not our problem, it's God's problem. It's not our problem to handle, it's his problem to handle. And he'll do that if we give it to him, right? Does he not say, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you? Are we not supposed to lay our burdens at his feet? You know what our problem is? We go before him. We say, God, I'm going to give these over to you. And before we get up, we pick them all back up and take them with us. Why should he interfere in what you want to do? If we're going to give them to him, let's give them to him. Let's say, these are yours, God. I know you're going to handle it in your time. Right? I like when I hear from people, well, I've been praying for, and they can fill in the blank, how, 40 years, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, 3 months, whatever you want to put in there, and say, and God hasn't answered my prayer. Has he answered it and you just didn't like the answer? See, sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says, wait. We don't do good on the waiting. We don't even like no, right? If you've been a parent, you use that word a lot, I'm sure, with your children. No, I told you no. No, no, over and over and over, right? But when somebody uses it on us, especially Almighty God, we're offended. That's not the answer I wanted. And we'll keep going and going and going and asking the same thing he's already answered. Sometimes God says, okay, you want this so bad? Here. And then we get it. What do? Whine and complain because God gave it to us. Whose fault is it? We didn't like the answer we got. And we didn't like what we got when we got it. Sometimes I wonder if he sits up there and says, you people are so hard to please. You don't like anything I do. Well, we like salvation, right? We like knowing that we're leaving this this world and we're going to a better place. We like that part. The rest of it, we're not so happy with, right? Where's our faith? We need to turn our burdens over to God and leave them there, and that takes an attitude, a changed attitude, right? An attitude change from, God, I need to do this, to, God, I can't do this. I need you to do it for me. When you realize that you cannot get the victory over stubborn sin in your life, that's when you're in the great position to turn it over to God and just leave it there. And then by faith in God, watch Him take care of it. Tried everything. People I hear over and over and over, you know, marriage just isn't working. Tried everything. Did you turn it over to God? We can have victory through surrender. Not surrendering to the enemy, but to God. Drowning in debt, hopeless at work, clueless at childbearing, restless to at worry. Give it to God. He'll take care of it. You know, over and over and over I've seen people, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm fill in the blanks. So old, I've been doing the same thing for hundreds of years, you know, and now all of a sudden I can't do it anymore. What am I going to do? Have you prayed to God? Have you asked Him? God, I need you to do something in my life. It's time for a change. And watch Him work. Watch Him work. Before we can be a conqueror, we must be conquered ourselves first. Years ago, I was talking to a preacher friend of mine, and he said, God will break you before He can use you. And it's true. He will. All that we are and all that we have must stand at attention before the captain of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lay all our worldly weapons down, all these weapons of warfare that we have, right? Lay them down at His feet, and like little David, cast off the bulky armor of human wisdom and pick up the shield of faith. And then we will see giants fall and walls collapse. See, we want to conquer the giants in our life ourselves. It doesn't work that way. Ever wonder about David and Goliath? How he could pick up those smooth stones and sling them and take out a giant? People say, well, he practiced a lot. I don't see any record of David going and slinging stones at giants his whole life, you know, to get prepared for this. He just knew that God would take care of it. He didn't need all that bulky armor, right? He didn't need that sword. He just needed God. And God took care of it. We need to pick up the shield of faith, and then we see those giants fall and walls collapse. Look at chapter 6 of Joshua, first 5 verses there. It says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. Verse 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Amazing, right? Joshua's looking out at this insurmountable problem, right? How are we going to get in there? But now he's face to face with God. He's now looking at the right object, right? Face to face with God. It's what we need to be looking at. When we start saying things like, man, this whole economy that we're in, it's just collapsing and there's just no hope. Have you taken that to God? Just asking. Have you seen the price of eggs? My goodness, folks, they've gone through the ceiling, right? Have you taken it before God? People say, well, God's not going to bring the price of eggs down. How do you know that? Do we know that? I don't know that. Man, it's just these people that we voted into office, look at what's going on, and can God not fix that? When was the last time we prayed for God to take care of that? I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back, but my wife and I, every single day, pray for the salvation of our elected officials. You might say, well, some of them could be saved. They might be. It'd be nice if they act like it. God knows who is and who isn't. If they aren't, they need to get saved. If they are, then I also ask this. Take the blinders off the people and expose the evil and wicked doers that they could be done away with. Did you notice what I pray for first? Their salvation. If they refuse to get saved, we need to have them done away with. People say, you want them dead? I didn't say that. They could be removed from office. If God chooses to take them out of this world, that's His choice. And then I can go through life and say, you know what? God's got it. But we need to do our part. Looking at the walls led to fear. Looking at our walls leads to fear. Looking at God led Joshua to faith. Faith is only as good as its object. Get your eyes off the problem and get your eyes on the Lord. In the New Testament, Peter walked on water as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord. When he started looking at the storm, he began to sink. But just a look back at the Savior is all it took. Get your eyes on the Savior and keep them there. Fear is looking at God through your problems. Faith is looking at your problems through your God. Is there anything insurmountable for God? How about us? We look at it and go, there's no use in even praying, right? And then we have to think, is there anything impossible for God? Well, it's impossible for God to lie. But, I mean, if we want to talk about our problems, or do we have a single problem that is a problem for God? No. Not one. Some people spend their whole life gazing up at the walls of their Jericho saying, it cannot be done, it cannot be done, it cannot be done. And if we say it enough times, we believe it, right? then we just throw in the towel and go home. We say, it can't be done. God, you don't understand, right? I'm going to tell you right now, you don't have any problems in your life that God has not already heard about and already knows about. But he would like to hear you and have you turn it over to him. Christian life is not just hard, it's impossible. Right? But nowhere in the Bible does it say, become a Christian and life becomes easy street, right? Now, there's those that preach that, which I have to tell you is a bold-faced lie. But it nowhere in God's Word tells us, you get saved and everything is going to be so easy from there on out. You are going to be living the lap of luxury. You won't have to lift a finger the rest of your life. You won't have to do anything. In fact, you can do whatever you want, right? Jesus warned us about the false teachers and the false prophets, right? They're still here. And they're still spouting that garbage. We need to stop trying and start trusting. Allow God to give you an attitude adjustment, and you are in prime position to see with your own eyes the walls of your Jericho fall down flat. It's amazing the things that you can overcome when you let God do it for you. Now, people say, well, I just have to sit there on that pew, right? Brother Al, you don't have to do anything, right? You just sit there and God just takes care of everything, right? That's not quite the way it works, is it? We have to pray. I knew Al, he's easy to pick on here because he's in the front row, right? You know if you sit in the front row, you're easy pickings, right? Anyway, but folks, it's not the way it works. We have to do our part too, right? God says we can have revival, right? If my people, right, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Sounds like we have to do something. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Oops, we got to do some more stuff, right? Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. See, we can't just sit on the front pew and say, God's just going to handle everything. I don't have to do nothing. But that's what's being taught. So we've seen faith and its object and faith and obedience. God was testing their obedience. Is God testing your obedience? Been a few times in my life when I can look back and I can say, I don't know exactly why God did this as I was going through it. But then I look back and I go, God was just testing me to see if I was going to be obedient. Because, trust me, some of the things he had me do didn't make any sense at all to me. But I said, I'm still going to be obedient. Then I look back and I go, now I know exactly why he did that. It's because he was working on this. See, that hindsight thing. It's always better, right? It's easy to say we have faith, but you show it through obeying whatever God says, whether it makes sense to you or not. Sometimes it just doesn't, right? Just doesn't make sense. Much of what the Bible tells us is contrary to human logic and reasoning, right? Just doesn't make sense, right? You're like, you want me to march around the walls? Doesn't make much sense at all. Wonder how many of us today would say, I'm just going to do it because God said it. And how many would say, has he lost his mind? I'm just saying, right? That's the attitude in Christianity today. Has God lost his mind? He wants us to do what? It's not our job to understand it all, but it's our job to undertake whatever it is that God's told us by obedience. Don't have to understand God's commands in order to trust him and obey them. We don't have to understand. Didn't I already say his ways are higher than our ways? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts? We don't have to understand. Too many say they have to understand in order to obey, but it's the other way around. You won't understand until you obey. Kind of interesting, huh? Bible is not a book to be explained as much as it is a book to be obeyed. Bible tells us obedience is better than sacrifice, right? I actually had people over the years tell me, well, I write a check, I put it in the offering plate, I've sacrificed, I don't have to do anything else. Bible tells us obedience is better than sacrifice. But isn't writing that check and putting it in the offering plate part of obedience? No, it's sacrifice. Be careful. It's obeying the word of God. Doing what he told you to. The people of Jericho were seasoned warriors. Oh, how they must have laughed as they looked down over the walls at the people. The insults they must have shouted. Can you imagine? And of course, this is my own take on this, right? Because it doesn't tell us that they were up there shouting down insults to them. But can you imagine? What are these fools doing just marching around? Don't they know who we are? Right? Laughing at them. I could just see it. Some of us be out there with our water balloons, right? Throwing them down on them because it'd be something fun to do, right? And we'd be saying, look at those crazy guys down there. What are they thinking? What are they doing? I just wonder what all they thought. Wonder if they maybe yelled down, want me to get the door for you? Maybe they said, maybe next time around. Maybe they were singing Ring Around the Rosie. I don't know for sure, but I just wonder what they were thinking as these men are marching around the city of Jericho. In 1 Corinthians 1:18 it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. They may have felt like fools, but they followed God's command to do nothing and to say nothing but to march around the walls. 1 Corinthians 4:10 it says, we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Then Joshua 6:13 says, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Note the words continually and going on. Their faith and perseverance are being tested here. They're being tested. Each day they would make their circular trek. Nothing would happen. Can you imagine? Day after day, and after a week of it, they're told, today is the day. And you think back, we've done this. nothing happened. And we did it again, and nothing happened. And we did it again, and nothing happened. And we did it, and over and over and over. But as they went around on that seventh day, again nothing happened. Then they are told to go around again and again, as if they need to keep trying, right? Wonder how tested their patience became. I wonder how many of them, if it was us in this day and age, would have dropped out and missed the victory. How many people who profess to know Christ today have dropped out? They're no longer pressing towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ, our Lord. How many are sitting on the sidelines today that used to be in the race? Waiting time is not wasting time. When we're waiting on God, we're not wasting time. God's delays are not necessarily denials. God does not work on our timetable. He does not consult our schedule. We need to wait on the Lord and get on His schedule. His timing is perfect. I'm glad these people did not give up. I'm glad these people did not lose their faith. I'm glad these people continued to walk around and walk around and walk around Jericho. Because just when God willed it, the wall fell down flat. Archaeology again will demonstrate this exact fact for us. Some of you have done your rounds with Jericho many times and you're about to quit just before God moves. Naaman the leper was told to dip 7 times in the Jordan and be healed. Each time he came up, he must have looked to himself and said, wonder if it's getting progressively better. But it wasn't. Nothing seemed to be happening. But I know he was glad when he kept it up, and the 7th time he came up and he was healed. It's a good thing that Abraham Lincoln was not a quitter, losing 9 elections. Losing his fiancée, having a nervous breakdown, going bankrupt twice, and all before he became president and ended the atrocity of slavery. Lesser man would have given up long before that. Thomas Edison invented hundreds of filaments that failed. And they say his 2nd floor lab had a window out of which he would toss the materials which did not work. Eventually, the junk pile reached the window. Someone asked, "How does it feel to fail 700 times? He said, "I have not failed. I have succeeded at finding 700 ways a light bulb will not work." Attitude is everything. How many times have I said, "I don't have to go to church, I get to go to church. I don't have to read my Bible, I get to read my..." Attitude is everything. There's a poem I came across. It says, "I want to let go, but I won't let go. There are battles to fight by day and by night. For God and the right, and I'll never let go. I want to let go, but I won't let go. I'm sick, 'tis true, and weary and blue, and worn through and through, but I'll never let go. I want to let go, but I won't let go. No, I will not yield. What, lie down on the field and surrender my shield? No, I'll never let go. I want to let go, but I won't let go. May this be my song, mid legions of wrong. O God, keep me strong, so that I will never let go." We need to take our eyes off our problem and fix our eyes upon God. We need to obey God even when it does not make sense. Because if you think about it, the only thing that makes sense is obeying God. Do not quit, keep the faith, and wait on the Lord for the victory. Faith. I have no idea why God had us on this subject for so long, but He knows. Nobody's come to me and said, I need more faith. But God knows what we need. So let's not lose the faith. Let's keep the faith no matter what happens. Life's not easy. Found out yesterday, I'd been told the week before Brother Zeke went home to be with the Lord, I was told on that Sunday before that he was diagnosed with cancer. I found out he actually went to the emergency room on the 28th of January. Found out there was cancer. His father-in-law battled cancer for years. They thought, well, it's not great news, but we can battle this. Less than 1 month later, God called him home. Less than 1 month later. Now, I bet if he could come back, he'd say, would you guys just quit worrying about all your problems and just turn them over to God and let Him deal with them? Because God's got it. May not look like it, but God's got it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for these men as they went around the walls of Jericho, as the trumpet blasted and the wall came falling down. I imagine their faith became extremely real to them. Father, I pray that we could have such faith to just be obedient, even when what Your word tells us doesn't make sense to us. That by faith we'll just trust You. Father, whether things are going well or things are going not so well in our lives, I pray that we would keep the faith. Again this morning, Father, I pray that if there's someone in our midst that has never accepted the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that today would be that day. Father, for those of us who have accepted Christ as Savior, I pray, Father, that we wouldn't let our faith waver, that we would continue to have our faith grow and strengthen. That happens by testing. I pray that we'd be obedient to Your word, even when it doesn't make sense to us. Because we'll always be able to look back and say, now I understand exactly why God worked it out this way. So I pray, Father, as we have a time of invitation this morning, I pray that You would have free reign in our hearts. I pray, Father, that if we need to deal with You on any issue of our lives, maybe there's someone we need to pray for salvation. Maybe we just need to pray for some people that are hurting. Maybe we need to pray for our nation. I pray, Father, that we would take this opportunity You've given to us, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me if you're able, as the piano plays this morning. If you need to come, you come.